Hello, thanks for tuning in to Learn, Grow, Succeed, the leadership podcast with me, Tom Hallett. This podcast is all about providing you with insights and tips to help you on your journey towards exceptional leadership. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, wherever you are in the world. It's Tom back on the Learn, Grow, Succeed podcast. Welcome to the 2nd of April's podcast. This month is Stress Awareness Month, and with corporate stress high on the agenda for many employers, I thought today would be a good time to talk about how, as a leader, you can best manage executive isolation and the stress it often brings. Now, we're also in the midst of the global pandemic that is coronavirus. So again, I think managing stress and understanding executive isolation, I guess literally as well as metaphorically, is very important at the moment. Now, according to the Harvard Business Review, half of CEOs express feelings of loneliness, with 61% believing loneliness hinders their job performance. It can be lonely at the top. The very famous example is they say the President of the United States is the loneliest job in the world because you are at the very top. But being lonely is not a fact. You don't have to be lonely at the top. In today's podcast, we look at the signs of executive isolation and what you can do to overcome them. Before we get into the main body of it, as ever, welcome to the podcast. Welcome also if you're new to the podcast and not listened before. If you are new, there's an entire back catalogue to catch up on, so I hope you've got some time to do some catching up. And also for anyone new or old, there is loads of collateral over on our Excel Communications website on leadership, whether that is part of our webinar series, previous podcasts, blogs, white papers, you name it, it's on there. So do head over to www.xlcommunications.com to see all that. And there will also be the transcript to this podcast on there, which will also be in the notes of whatever system you're using to listen to this podcast. And finally, there is loads of content going down our social media channels. LinkedIn in particular is a really great one for getting links to the blogs and content on leadership from XL Communications. So let's get into today's podcast topic on executive isolation and how you can brave the wilderness that your executive position can often become. As the joke goes, it might be lonely at the top, but the view is terrific. But the truth is, I've had many senior leaders and managing directors and chairmen tell me that one of the main problems they face in their working lives is that they are in fact very lonely at the top. Working in isolation has its drawbacks, from having to make decisions on your own to not really being aware of what's happening in your own company. In this podcast, I'd like to ask you three questions to determine if you're working in isolation, and then we'll look at some ways to overcome it. And again, this being recorded in April, I guess it's important to note that we're talking sort of metaphorical mental isolation here as opposed to physical isolation, of which probably more of us than not are working in at the moment. So that first question, are you shielded from reality? So do you know what's going on with your team, or are you shielded from everyday workplace problems and events? Do you know what's, the nitty-gritty of what's going on the ground? Isolation can compromise your decision-making and effectiveness as a leader. If you don't know what's going on, how can you make thoughtful and incisive decisions? If you are in a new leadership role, others may try to shield you from problems or concerns that arise to give you space and time to settle into the new position. Data concerning what's going on in the workplace, employees, and even your clients can become filtered. But this has the disadvantage of filtering workplace events. If you only receive part of the information about what's happening, you can't make value judgments or agree on actions. Second question, are you distanced from your team? Many employees hold their leaders in deference. This may be demonstrated by holding back opinions so as not to be seen as contradicting your authority, and it's one of the major causes of executive isolation. It's especially hard on those who have risen through the ranks to their new leadership position and now see themselves ostracized from the team that they once worked with. From not being invited to birthday parties to exclusions from sort of leaving dues or those Friday beers down the pub, I've had some leaders tell me that this has impacted on their enjoyment of and ability to perform in their new role. So it can have serious effects on your leadership and career. Additionally, the power that comes with a leadership role can sometimes lead to individuals not listening to their team, which has the knock-on effect of making employees less likely to voice their opinions because they don't see the point. And if they don't talk to you, you won't know what's going on. And thirdly, are you never challenged on your ideas? Are you just leading a team of cheerleaders or people who just wanted to big you up? People who say yes to whatever you suggest and never push back on potentially bad decisions will only increase your executive isolation. If you have answered yes to any or indeed all of these questions, you are in danger of experiencing executive isolation. So it's time to brave the wilderness and overcome your seclusion. We need to get you back in with the team and feeling the group dynamics and the love from everyone around you. So now we're going to look at five proven ways to alleviate that isolation and be a more effective leader as a result. The first, being an alcoholic, is acknowledge your isolation. We already know the move to a senior leadership role can be exhilarating. In the initial energy high and the excitement of the role, others may try to help by keeping problems away. But if this problem becomes the norm, you're no longer getting the big picture. To be effective as a leader, you need first-hand information. You know you're feeling isolated. It's time to get out of your office and talk to your employees. Tell them how you're feeling and tell them that you want to be more included and ask them how you can do this. And this will lead on to point two, which is take action. So the second step after acknowledging isolation is to get out of your office and go and talk to your team. You need unfiltered data, so find out what's going on for them. Ask for their ideas and opinions, harness their enthusiasm and expertise to gather the facts that will help you make better decisions. Now, again, we're sitting probably in physical isolation in April at the moment, so this doesn't have to be a physical office, you know. It's much harder to keep those communications going if you can't just shout out of the office door or across an open plan office. So drop in a video call with your team. Go and speak to people. Ask them how they're coping in this current situation. Ask them for their opinions on how other people are coping and that kind of thing. So even if we're in physical isolation, take action and go and talk to your team. So the third point is encourage challenge. Let go of your ego and allow your colleagues to challenge you. Privately and in team meetings, it's not always easy, but having the strength to permit that challenge and to listen to others' ideas and give them credence actively will show you to be a great leader and encourage them to give you that honest feedback, which will benefit your team and your performance. Have the courage to embrace disagreement and let go of your sense of being in charge. Having peers who are not afraid to challenge you, are prepared to speak out, and can serve as a critical soundboard will enable you to lead in a more positive, engaged and collaborative way. And I promise you, it will lead to a more motivated and a higher performing team. And this will also alleviate isolation and lead to better decision making from you personally, better collaboration, better teamwork, and ultimately greater leadership capability and bottom line team performance. The next is to embrace your vulnerability. No one wants to challenge a leader who rules with an iron fist. So being prepared to admit when you're wrong and embracing your own vulnerability will make you more open and approachable. And when that happens, your team are more likely to come to you if they have a problem or if they have ideas, solutions that they want to throw into the mix, even if that's going against what you originally thought. Making yourself vulnerable means allowing others into your world, sharing your thoughts, your thinking, and being prepared to take on others' suggestions will help cultivate a sense of trust and respect that breaks down the barriers of loneliness. This way, you'll be the first to hear about potential situations or indeed innovations and the great new things that are going to come from your people. You can lead well knowing you have a finger on the pulse of what's going on rather than sitting in splendid isolation without an understanding of daily operations. Again, in the current situation where we're relying on phone conversations or video chats, this is so important to have these open, honest, vulnerable conversations with individuals or your teams in those virtual team meetings that you've no doubt set up. So do tell people how you're feeling, you know, tell them about what it's like to work at home, tell them what it's like to juggle having the kids at home while you're trying to record podcasts or anything like that. Share with them and make sure you're embracing your vulnerability. Now, point five is one that we've talked about in another podcast, and it's about investing in your well-being. Executive isolation is sometimes a little bit part of the job, but it's important to remember that your well-being is paramount and isolation can really detract from it. No one works well in isolation, so consider connecting with another senior colleague, mentors, or leaders in other networks with whom you can share ideas and concerns. Let off steam if necessary and keep your sanity. If you can't do it within your business, you know, there are plenty of networking events for senior leaders and people in equivalent roles who I'm sure would really welcome the chance to discuss these kind of topics. Having a supportive circle would provide a sense of belonging where you're free and able to discuss issues and feel safe that there's a like-minded community. And even just knowing that other people out there are in the same position can be a real help. These connections will also help alleviate stress and result in better mental health for you. Remember, just because you have an executive role, it doesn't mean that you have to deal with isolation. Immerse yourself in your team. Be present and available, approachable and human. You don't need to be anything that you're not just because you're in a leadership position. If anything, it will detract from your leadership if you do. And you'll find that not only do your team appreciate your vulnerability, but they will also embrace your inclusive leadership style. You will get better performance. They will feel happier and more empowered to do their roles. So I hope that's provided you with some useful starting points to help you manage executive isolation, help you become better in your role as a leader. It's so important to manage your well-being and make sure you are immersed in your team. You don't want to be at the top of the mountain with nobody there to support you. So until next time, have a great week, whatever you have left of your working week or your family time on the weekend or whatever it is you're doing. Have a great one. Cheers. Bye-bye.